The Ryan Reese Show from Southern California. This is The Ryan Reese Show. Post your questions using @RyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Are you ready?
Well, I'm ready. I got Danny Sanchez out here from San Jose tonight in studio. What up?
What up? How you doing, man? It's been a little while.
Dude, so we haven't even really talked, so legitly we're catching up.
For sure, right?
How long has it been since we connected?
I think it's been over a year, right? Like in person?
Yeah, yeah. Or
before COVID, of course.
Okay, when did we see each other? Was it up north?
It was up north, yeah.
Okay, so you're in the San Jose area. A lot of you guys don't know Danny. He's in San Jose. You were a youth pastor for a while, but now you are in the streets for a long time now, working with the government at some capacity to reach into the community with really high gangs and crime, and to be there for the families. Yeah. What exactly are you doing right now?
So I'm a crisis responder, a chaplain for the gang task force.
Right.
So it's for, you know, we do basically crisis response for homicide and those that are injured in youth violence, you know, sadly. And, you know, out of that, you know, I was at a funeral one time, and there was a ton of kids in this room. It's a little chapel, right? And then, you know, there was kids and families. I mean, it was packed to the brim, right?
Yeah.
And you know, when they say, hey, can you share a little bit, you know, can you, I mean, not me, but like asking people they want to share a memory of the 18-year-old young man that was lost his life. He was shot. He was killed. Right. And it lasted 2 hours, like two people, teachers, coaches, all these people were saying like how much he meant to them. And I was looking out and people were sitting there, and some of them were, you know, like angry. Some of them were in tears.
Yeah.
You could smell the weed in there. You could smell the alcohol. Some people were just sitting there with a blank look on their face. And the Lord spoke to me.
Yeah.
And he said, these are like sheep without a shepherd.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I'm getting a little emotional, man, because I remember that moment, like, powerfully, you know?
Yeah.
And
Well, okay, so with all that said, that's what you're doing here now. You're, like, you're reaching out to this community. But, you know, I know you have a new book that came out, and – you know, I wanted to bring you in because, you know, we've been friends a while.
Yeah.
We've been friends a long time, and we're both skaters.
Yeah.
And we're both pranksters, and, you know, there's a funny, this is, we're going to talk about some serious heavy stuff here tonight, but you're a prankster, and God uses, I think God uses your personality in these places because you're dealing with really gnarly stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it wasn't always, you weren't always a Christian.
No.
You know, give me a little bit of your just for the listeners so they can kind of hear where you come from growing up. You're from NorCal originally.
Yeah, born and raised in San Jose, California, East San Jose. If you're familiar with the area, you know, predominantly Latino area in San Jose. You know, when I grew up, our family was low income. You know, my parents were divorced when I was really young. And that kind of can lead a little bit into my book. You know what I mean? Because
toss that book over here.
Yeah.
Let me see that thing. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, the book is, you know, my quest to transcend trauma, turn my pain to purpose, and find peace. Right. Because we all deal with pain in some way, shape, or form. Right. Mm-hmm. Everybody, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional. And, you know, I'm from San Jose, you know, and I experienced a lot of things. Like, I'm like a lot of people, your listeners probably experience things. Right. We all have a different journey. Right. But
Absolutely.
We have one person that can heal, and that's Jesus. And, you know, I grew up in San Jose. I grew up, you know, in a home where there were statues and there was Bibles, but I never heard the word.
Religious.
Right. Some prayer there, here and there. But, you know, it's interesting. Like, at a young age, people started just dropping nuggets of the gospel to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, teachers and, like, I remember I got arrested as a teenager, and one of the officers shared the gospel with me when I was in the back of his car. Yeah, I was like, that's crazy.
I've heard that story before.
Yeah. So, like, just stuff like that, right? And just not in a Christian home, you know, and I'd go to church, but I'd go there, you know, kind of to hang out and be with my friends and talk to girls and stuff like that, but didn't really have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, I'll share a little bit more later, but, you know, I had a radical transformation with Christ, man, you know, and I don't know if you heard this part of my story, Ryan, and I don't share it much, but I didn't want to live, you know, at one point in my life, you know, well, for years, right? I didn't care. And I lived.
What was that? That it went to? Were you like suicidal? Were you depressed? Or was just like you were just like no hope?
Yeah. Well, all those. Yeah. Right. I had no hope. Right. I was suicidal. I would cut myself. I was cutting.
Wow.
I still look at the scars on my wrist where I cut myself. You know, I would put myself in risky situations. Drunk driving with friends. We got into car accidents. You know, fights. I've been stabbed 11 times. Damn. Just putting myself out there. You know, and it's, you know, when I came face to face with death, and you know, I share this in my book, but like I threw up blood, right? Trying to clean out my system because I was on parole and I was getting bottled, and somebody said, "Hey man, if you drink Arm & Hammer, it'll clean your system out." So I drank as much as possible, and I'm throwing up, dude, like crazy, right? And I'm like, if I die right now, where am I gonna go?
Right.
And at that moment in my life, man, I'm like, I want to live. Yeah. I want to live. I don't want to die.
Yeah.
And I said, Jesus Christ, if you're real, can you help me?
Yeah.
And my life was radically transformed at that moment. Wow. You know what I mean? And that was at like 27, 28. No, actually, it was closer to 29. 29 years old, man, because I remember I was at the church and I turned 30. You know, I was a groundskeeper at the church.
It's never too late, you know, and I love these stories of like, you know, because you know, I was older when I gave my life to the Lord as well, but people think like, you know, it's too late or I'm too far gone or there's no hope. And here you are, gangbanger in this lifestyle, guns, shooting, stabs, drunk driving. I mean, can it get any crazier? Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, like you have a high risk of a high chance of dying.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. But then what does God do is it's just that simple act, that simple prayer, like, which is talking to God. People think, oh, it wasn't this like big prayer, like, oh, Father in heaven. You know, it was just like, if you're real, save me, you know?
It's like when Peter was thinking, help.
Help. Is
That's
that
exactly
easy?
What I did. I said, help.
Yeah.
And immediately it was like the hand lifted me out of the water, out of the storm, man. It was powerful. And, you know, going back to what you had asked me a question in the beginning and I was sharing about that young man.
Yeah.
That was the birth of our nonprofit called the City Peace Project.
Okay, right.
And so that's where I do a lot of work, you know, in the community with kids that are dealing with the same things I dealt with, right? I mean, all of us deal with layers of trauma, right?
Right.
Like I remember when I was a kid watching my mom throw my dad's stuff out, right? And it was traumatized. I think I was 4 years old. I remember right now, as we're talking, I'm thinking about the duplex, green duplex, you know, right off Santa Clara Street in San Jose, where my mom's throwing stuff out, and how I felt like powerless.
Right.
And how angry I was at my mom at that moment, right? Mm. But I didn't know my dad was cheating.
Yeah.
But I held resentment towards her, right? I felt powerless. I remember, you know, the things that happened in my life. You know, my brother, you know, just joking around, he would lock me in a closet, and I was claustrophobic. Banging in the closet, he would laugh, you know, all those things. But those things re-trigger, right? And there's other things, you know, and I just want, you know, people that are listening, you know, just really pray and really think about this, because I don't want to trigger any events for your life, but there's a lot of stuff I'm going to be talking about, like the from your past, right? Because the Bible says,
come up a little bit,
the Bible says, you know, that, you know, we know we deal with trauma, right? The Bible, the word trauma might not be in the Bible, but you know, in the book of Psalms, it says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, right? Mm-hmm. Because people hurt, man.
Right?
Whether you're a child, whether you're an adult, we go through different things, and it just becomes layers and layers and layers. And Jesus even told his disciples in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation.
Tribulation, yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to have issues. There's a lot of things we deal with in this world, and I think...
Come to me, all you are weary, and it's basically it's like stress.
Yeah, yeah.
Stress. Why are you stressed? From trauma.
Yeah, yeah. Every day it depends on how we look at it, how we accept it, you know, and a lot of, you know, for a lot of my life, I think I carried a lot of the stuff, you know, when I was younger, into my adult life, right? I didn't really deal with it, right? And we can't really, I mean, we can work on it, but for me, Jesus Christ healed me, man. I mean, not to say that like I don't, you know, there's certain things if I'm in a certain area. Have you ever had that, Ryan? Like if you ever like you smell a certain scent and it just takes you back.
A certain song comes on.
Certain song, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it triggers, right? Yeah, and it triggers something. And that stuff so happens. And, you know, God's doing a work in us right now, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we just need to realize that, you know, it is a process. Mm. And the, you know, God will turn your pain to purpose, right? Mm-hmm. He will turn, like, he'll get, we were created, you know, with a purpose, right?
Mm-hmm. 100%. So tell me this. In this area where you work, tell me a little bit about the landscape of Eastside San Jose, or you're in different, you're actually all over San Jose.
I'm all over San Jose, but the Eastside.
Tell us about the pulse of the neighborhoods, what's going on, what's happening in these areas, just so listeners can understand this whole community.
Yeah, you know, I'm from the Silicon Valley, right? So people think technology, money, right? So, but that makes the gap even larger for the haves and the have-nots, right?
Right.
There's a lot of people, and it's expensive to live there, right?
Right.
So, you know, the areas I work in, you know, there's a lot of needs, right? There's beautiful people in the community, man. I love being there. It's predominantly Latino community. Mm-hmm.
The
East Side, yeah. It's predominantly Latino in that area.
I love the East Side. We toured all, we went through all the schools over there with you guys.
Right? Isn't it cool? It's like,
oh, it's awesome.
Everything's like, the people are amazing. And I'm not going to say this to like, you know, I love my city. I'm not going to put but you know what? Like every city, we have problems, right?
Yep.
We have problems with gangs. We have problems with drugs. We have problems with, you know, the area where I work at, like, you know, people are dealing with different things, like in school, right? Say, for instance, like there's a school I worked at where a lot of the kids, you know, had learning, you know, disabilities, right? Learning
that
issues,
was me.
Right? Right? Me too, right? And a lot of the kids, you know, at some of the schools, I'm not saying every single student I work with, but, you know, like they act it out. They act out. They do crazy stuff at schools.
Yeah.
And then around them, you know, there's either gangs, there's drugs, there's you know, just other types of risky behaviors. So where I'm at, right, there's predominantly Latino gangs that are in conflict with one another. And then, you know, there's a lot of different types of, you know, just, I mean, again, I don't want to put this, shine this bad light on San Jose but I want to just let it be known that, you know what, there needs to be some healing in that area. And so, so, you know, I work a lot with people that are dealing with trauma through loss. People that are dealing with trauma, you know, through different difficulties, like, you know, kids, parents, you know, splitting up, or domestic violence in the home, or, you know, they're learning disabilities or things like that. So, you know, in that area, you know, there's a lot of beauty, but there's also darkness.
I want to say something, because obviously, you know, I travel all over the place, right? Yeah. I've been going to Montana, Idaho, Arkansas, all these different places across the United States. And it doesn't matter if it's in the Latino community, if it's in the white community, if it's in the black community. We've seen the same thing. Like, I was just in Idaho, it's all white. And then you have the Native Indians.
Yeah.
And the Native Indians are trying to get off the reservation because the abuse at home, the molestation, the drunken, the drugs, the broken homes, all this crazy stuff. They're trying to get off the reservation to go to juvenile detention center just so they can be safe.
Whoa.
Okay? Yeah. And this is a white community. And then you go to Ohio, and it's like, you know, you've seen 9 Mile, what is it, the Eminem?
Oh, 8 Mile.
8 Mile.
Yeah.
You know, and you have a trailer park and the lower. I mean, my point is, it doesn't matter where you're at. Right here, we're in Diamond Bar.
Yeah.
You go one city over, P-Town, Pomona.
Yeah.
An average city lives on $230 a month.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Hispanic community. It doesn't matter where you go. But then we got Snoop Dogg that lives right here.
Yeah.
Two blocks up right here in the country.
Yeah.
Okay. In the gated community.
Yeah.
So my point is, you're not coming down on San Jose. Dude, it's all over.
Yeah,
place.
I know. Yeah, and you know, because my thing is to always, you know, try to lift up and lift out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And encourage, you know, because, you know,
everyone needs encouragement. Every area.
Yeah, and you know,
and you're
Ryan,
doing great.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Yeah, you know, but you know, they're just like big cities, right? We're the I think we're the 11th or 10th largest big city in America, and there's issues with crime. There's issues with guns, there's issues with gangs, there's issues with drugs, just like everywhere else. And you know, but I got big love, just like you have love for being out there in those cities. I got big love. And you know, and so the areas I'm working at, right, there's a lot of fights, there's a lot of drug abuse. Like I'm at a skate park that I work at, where in the last like 5 years they lost like 7 people through drunk driving.
Really?
Yeah, through like suicide. Mm-hmm. Through like, you know, just different things. And imagine the pain they're dealing with in that community, and that these are their homies, right? They're just like they chill with them, and now like all you see is a tag, you know, so there's somebody got hit and run, You know, there was a young man, you know, I knew him personally, little man, you know, we all loved that guy. Mm-hmm. He was skating downtown, got hit by a car, man. And you know what? People were, and there's this trauma on top of trauma on top of trauma. And so that's why, you know, because, you know, I was focused on working with the gang task force. Mm-hmm. But I just saw, like, man, people, all these kids were working
everyone.
With, everyone.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, so, okay, so with that said, I want to definitely talk a little bit more even about this book, about why you wrote it and what the tools are inside of it. But, you know, I do want to give you props to this thing that, you know, since we met, you know, we started touring the schools together. You know, you were getting this in this. I think you got us in some of the first original schools, actually, in San Jose. Yeah. I think the first classroom I was in, or one of the first classrooms I was in, was with you in San Jose.
Yeah.
You were like the OG. And not only that, you were one of the OGs going to all the skate parks for years doing it. So you've been doing it. And you know, it's an amazing thing. So please look up Danny Sanchez of what he's doing out there. You're on social media and stuff. Yeah. But with that said, you wrote this book. Now is this book a so is this a biography? Is it a
It's a memoir. It's a memoir, yeah.
So you're just going through the stories of oh, I just opened up the chapter 20, from the big house to the White House. You actually got during this time, you actually got an award from Obama at the White House. I guess you talked about it in chapter 20. Then I see some verses in here, just kind of tying it all in.
Yeah.
So what should people look through this book? Is there any highlight stuff you want to highlight here in this book?
Well, you know what? Like, I think, you know, the book is Post-Traumatic Quest. And again, it's a book of the layers that I dealt with. Originally, when I was writing it, we sheltered for 7 years, man. Because think about it, Ryan, man. Like, you know, I've been able to do a lot of cool stuff, you know, more recently. And I didn't want to... if you write a book, and you just wrote a book, congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, and you expose yourself in a book. And I expose myself, man, you know. So we shelved it for like 7 years, you know, because I didn't want people to know that I was, you know, some uneducated ex-con. I was embarrassed, man.
Yeah.
But I had to embrace who I was. And I wrote this book for the kids.
Yeah.
I want we gave every single kid in Santa Clara County Juvenile Hall a copy of this, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah. We wanted them to read it.
That's right. You got us in the juvenile detention centers too.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. So I wrote this book, man. So... to give these kids hope, man, because I remember I was in juvenile hall, man. And I remember like, and I was in there for a crime I didn't commit.
Yeah.
And I got a felony for it. And I was like 14 years old. Yeah. Right. And I thought at that moment, my life's over. I don't even care anymore. Yeah. Imagine a 14-year-old with his whole life ahead of him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I'm over here thinking like, I got a felony. I'm never going to be able to get a job. Never going to do anything. Right. Yeah. So, you know, with that in mind, like I started to share just my story for one, to give, you know, young people, the kids, hope, right? That you can get beyond your current circumstances, right? You can get beyond whatever you're dealing with. Especially kids, they're so resilient, right? They can come back. You know, I'm not taking away from the pain that people dealt with.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like,
but we're conquerors in Christ.
Yeah, we're conquerors, right? We're more than conquerors, right?
Well, just even reading that chapter 20 headline, I mean, here you are, you're a felon with, you know, felony, and then all of a sudden you're getting an award from Obama at the White House. I mean, that right there is like hope. That is crazy.
Yeah, but you know, the backstory to that is, you know, the White House called, and I remember they're like, hey, we need to do a background check tomorrow. Dang.
Oh,
I'm not going. I'm not going. Yeah. You know, because I had a record and all this stuff, and I was like, I got bummed. I told my wife, like, they're not going to let me go. I'm not going to be able to go in the White House. I have a felony, right? You know what I mean? I didn't know. But you know what's crazy is that my wife and I, we both prayed, and the Lord just gave us a peace, you know. And it was funny. I was just sharing outside, with somebody outside, that because, you know, we talked about that earlier, how like they did allow me to go, but my little badge was a different color than everyone else's, and the guy had to stay by me the whole time. So you
that's
know,
how
yeah,
they do it.
Yeah, they got me in there, and you know, and
that's
it,
so awesome.
It's an honor, you know what I mean, to represent Jesus Christ in the White House, you know what I mean? My work is chaplaincy. That's what the award was for. It was for Obama's White House Champion of Change for Youth Violence Intervention. And you know, and out of 12, there was 24 people nominated. 12 were chosen, and 4 of us were Christians. We're pastors. You know what I mean? So, you know, I feel highly honored and truly blessed by that, you know.
So, okay, yes, no, it's an amazing thing. So, how did, like, so obviously we've been in the pandemic and COVID hit and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So how has things happened during the pandemic for you? How'd you navigate through this with your, with the Peace Project?
Yeah. So, you know, we're on high school campuses. We do like, we do groups for mentoring and coaching kids. We work with tons of campuses. Right. And so I was actually on a campus. My organization is called the City Peace Project. If anyone wants to look it up,
yeah,
it's the citypeaceproject.org.
That's on. Okay. .org or then in social media.
Social media, the City Peace Project. Right. Yeah. And so I was on campus when they made the announcement, March 13th, on a school campus, right? And they shut down. They were saying, like the school's going to be shut down. So I regrouped with my staff. And then one of the staff was like, hey, like we're in a shelter in place. My stomach dropped. My whole life is, relationships, right? Right. Like being with people on campus and being right. with them, like everything's just cut off now. What's going to happen? So over the weekend, I prayed, and the Lord immediately opened a door. He said, just start calling people and see if they need anything. Because remember, there was like a shortage of a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I just started calling, like first we started with the elderly people at our church, and then I started calling the schools, and like I started finding out families needed things, and we started making these little care packages with food and with toilet paper, because there was a, and the Lord blessed me with a lot of resources.
Yeah,
of course. Because there was a shortage of toilet paper, and I got it, and I was able to give it out, right? So we started doing that, and then I started working with churches to get assistance for bills, because people lost their jobs. Like, people lost work hours, people lost their jobs, and some people even lost their lives,
And even like, especially in the area that you're at, was extremely strict on COVID.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, San Jose.
Yeah, it was, Santa Clara County, yeah.
Dude, that was extremely.
Yeah, yeah. So you know what? Like, I immediately got essential. You know, throughout history, the church has been there, through the plagues and through the pandemics, throughout history. And I really felt called by God to be out there. I really felt called to be there and support my community in that time. And, I had some wonderful people I work with. We distributed food with lunch lines at schools, had some volunteers make bags, and like I would go drop them off, and we had some amazing churches just donate to help people pay rent, to get food. So it was so amazing. And during COVID, right?
These are the stories that we haven't heard yet from COVID,
Yeah. We had a shift, right? I used to be on campus. So, we started having to help families that didn't know about technology because their kids are on technology, help them, stay connected. The kids stay connected. We helped, help them navigate, Like the school, we went to their homes and did support, tech support, mentoring. We would check in, because what happened was a lot of things shifted, right? Kids, there was a lot of truancy. Nobody was going to school or absences, right? And if you think about it, it was difficult, right? You go from being in person, and then you're on a screen, right?
Big deal.
And then imagine, like, and there was a lot of depression.
Yep.
Sadly, there was suicide, yep. Right? There was drug overdoses. There was the gang violence went down, then just shot up.
Oh, so it went up.
Yeah, it went up. It shot down for a while in the beginning of COVID, but then it just went up, and we have young people, like middle schoolers getting shot, 12-year-olds overdosing and dying. You know what I mean? Things like that. These are little kids. My daughter's
12. These are kids.
Yeah.
Kids.
Yes. And so we did everything. We would make phone calls. We would do all these things to make sure that we're there. And, during that, like on our, that was working with the schools. But during my own time, I was like, I'm going to reach people. I'm going to start reaching communities. The Lord had shown me a long time ago, I think it's Joshua 1:3, it says, wherever the sole of your foot steps, I'm going to give it to you. And you know what? I stepped out by faith. We started 2 Bible studies. I think we had like something like 60 people profess faith in Christ and 6 baptisms during COVID. This is during COVID,
That's
right?
Amazing.
Outside, we're outside sharing the gospel with people and baptizing people at the beach, of course we did everything safely, we wore masks and we social distance
people.
Yeah. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were out there and it was powerful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there was hope in the midst of this uncertainty, right?
Dude, I love it. And this is why I want to bring you on the show, because man, the message was going forth, the ministry was being done, God had his people in place to go out and be active and meet the needs of the people, even though everyone was like saying lockdown and hide and basically all the anxiety and depression all went to the roof. There were still people out in the streets doing it. Please look up Danny's website. It's the citypeaceproject.org.
Yes.
Look it up. Donate. I mean, get involved. Contact him. Go serve with him. There's plenty of stuff. I want to actually come back up and do a tour there through there just to just be available and see what God wants to do to reach out to people. I know last time I was hanging out with you, we were eating pho. Man, we were eating so much pho on that trip, actually.
Like every day.
and one of the people that you were talking to got jumped into a gang.
Yeah.
You know, during that time, there was some stuff happening, but.
Hey, praise report. He's out.
He
left. Him and his buddy left.
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because you were talking to him a lot, and then over a pho session, we were eating fun. Also, we got a text message, and they said he just got jumped into a game night before. We were with him the night before.
Yep.
Now he's out.
Yep.
Praise report. That's amazing.
Yeah. And you know what I think it is? The thing that's important is what Jesus did, right? It's relationships, right? Spending time with people, right? And you know what? Being gentle with people, you know, and supporting people. And that's what, you know, that's what I want to be like. I want to be consistent. You know, like I've been doing the same thing for a long time for a reason. Because, you know, like, I love what I do, and I love to be around people. I love to see lives transformed. You know, though we do have there's hard times where I've had to bury kids that I work with, right? Yeah. Because of gang violence or overdoses or things like that. But you know what? Like, we're seeing a lot more success. You know, we're seeing success through the trials, and especially COVID, man. It's been crazy,
it's
right?
It's crazy.
It's like, what do? You can't. You know, like you can't do this and you can't do that. And there was a lot of doors that were open for us to be out there. And even in COVID, right? So we wrote the book.
So you finished the book in COVID?
We wrote it 7 years ago.
Yeah. You basically put it to bed in COVID.
And then redid it during COVID. And, you know, and again, like, it was hard, man. Again, like, you know, when I read through the book, you know, I cry, man, because I remember all those things. And not my cries aren't always of sorrow, but they're of joy because I'm like, Lord, like, you really did this for me, Lord. Like, you really, really, you know, like, you really changed my life, God. Like, like truly, like, I didn't know what life was, Ryan. Like, seriously, man. And God gave me, like, a chance, man, to really live. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I look at it, and like I said, of course there's things that come up, but I look at it like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love.
This is just a proof that God is real.
Yeah.
And that he can transform lives and he can transform anyone's life. And I know what you're saying. You're reading and you're reflecting. You're like, it's just like it testifies. And you're like, dang. It's like, it's almost like you forget. And then you're reading. You're like, no, you did do this.
Yeah.
And here it is. And this is what's going to encourage people. And I pray that God's going to use this book to touch many people's lives, and that he'll put it in the right hands of people. And you could buy it on Amazon.
Amazon, yeah. We have a website, posttraumaticquest.com. Yeah. Amazon on our website, you know, and if you live in San Jose, you can get it from me.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ryan, like, I mean, you have probably the same, you know, you look back and think where God took you from.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. It's just a God miracle.
Yeah.
I'm going to put this up because we're on video too, so people could see it right here. This is the book that you want to look for once you go to Amazon, or the website is
posttraumaticquest.com.
Yep, and just go scoop it up and support his ministry. Go to the website to the City Peace Project. Donate if there's a place and pray. You know, pray. You know what I love about prayer is that there's so much power in prayer. You know, you're talking to God, and it says that our prayers are sweet smelling aroma at the presence of God, and God answers them in His timing, but pray for favor for Danny, for doors to open.
Yeah.
Because maybe you're like, I don't have money to give. Cool. Pray. Yeah. Pray that God will give resources because he could just unlock a door that people could come and help donate and facilitate and bring more workers because the harvest is ripe, and that Danny will continue to be out there. So check that out. We're going to be going to break in a minute. Obviously, go to the whosoevers.com. Go watch the past radio shows. I have a book called Kill the Noise. You could donate. You could buy products. Pray for us. Prayer is good.
Yes.
There's a lot of resources at thewhosoevers.com. Just continue to keep us in prayer that God will open doors for the high schools coming up in September.
Yeah.
If we want to go back to San Jose.
Yeah.
And that God will open more doors just for us to get in front of more people and bring the good news of the gospel. That's the whole reason why we do this, is to share our stories, to bring the good news, and people's lives will be transformed.
Yeah.
And that's it.
We'll love talk to you guys. Love changes everything, right?
2 minutes. We'll be back.
More of The Ryan Reese Show coming up. Post your questions at Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook.
But look around you. Your family, your faith, they're not in the way. They are the way.
From the creators of Jesus Revolution comes the incredible true story.
It's going to be dangerous and scary and giving up. It's not an option.
The story of one family's journey from down under to center stage. Unsung Hero, a For King and Country film starring Candace Cameron Bure and Terry O'Quinn. In theaters now. Visit unsunghero.movie to learn more. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Now, back to the Ryan Reese Show.
All right, Danny Sanchez, Mr. Danny Sanchez, my homie from NorCal.
Yeah.
You know, just right before the break, we were just talking about the City Peace Project that you have, how you go in, you're working with the government, you go in to help in this Hispanic community in San Jose, the East Side, and you're there with the schools. During the pandemic, you were doing great things. Mm. You had access to toilet paper, thank God. That is essential, toilet paper. Right. But you were able to actually go into the houses, talk to the parents, get kids connected to the internet, and be there. And during this time, because there was a crisis, and everything got shut down. Very strict COVID rules up there, especially right there where Apple and Google all the tech is. So I'm so glad that you were doing great things. Now you have this book. Right?
Yeah.
You got your book out. It's on Amazon. People could purchase it. It's a memoir of a highlight reel of things that you went through. And you're very transparent, authentic, and raw in this thing. What chapters? Do you want to highlight a chapter or two and talk about some things that you think that the listeners should hear on a positive note of things that they're in that book that can help them overcome or just inspire them during the season?
Yeah, I think, you know, we shared a little bit earlier, but just for one, it's just my relationship with God. You know what I mean?
Let's talk about that.
Through Christ, man. You know, like, I had a radical transformation. You know, I'm going to keep it real, man. Like,
do it.
I didn't have a lot of, you know, like faith, you know, before, like, all this, right?
Yeah.
And you know, like, I mean, when I came to my relationship with Jesus Christ, it was super genuine, man. Like, I was the assistant gardener at the church I was at up there, right?
And assistant gardener?
Yeah. And I was blowing leaves, man. There was big old trees out there for the glory of God, singing worship, man. It was like, I didn't even care what people thought of me at that moment, man. And
because you came from such a crazy background that you're like, this is freedom.
Yeah.
That's what I love. It's so awesome.
And you know, you look at it too, like, and you know, my story, right, is there's a lot of people that have similar stories, right? Yeah, a lot of people that have similar stories to mine. And that's why I wanted to write everything. I wanted to write everything in here, like, you know, about the things I went through as a child, about, you know, being a teenager, about being a young adult, you know, about being locked up, about the drug abuse, about the suicide attempts, all those different things, so that it can show you the power of God, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, like you said, that from the big house to the White House, you know, chapter 20. Like, you know, that was a huge experience for me, right? I never even flew before that. You know what I mean? I never really got an airplane once or twice here and there.
Since you said that, how was your flying experience? Were you nervous?
I was super nervous. My palms were sweating, and the plane that was over there, it had turbulence.
You got turbulence too?
Like, oh, no.
You're like, nothing's underneath us. Hey,
I know.
That's so funny because you were a grown man flying for the first time, and that's a far flight.
Yeah, it's 5 hours. You know what I mean?
Where'd you sit? Were you in the middle?
Middle. My wife was next to me and some friends, and every time I fly, even my wife makes fun of me. She's like, every time you get nervous, I go, I'm not nervous anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm like, she's like, you're always so tense. I can't sleep on a plane. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
I just have that fear. But, you know, like, but God really, you know, like, you know, he opened a lot of doors. And you know, if you look at my life or you look at your own life and you see God's miracles in your life, that's exactly what they are, the miracles, right?
Like, yeah.
There's nothing that I could have done
to do that.
Earn it, you know. It's like the things that I've been able to do are just a testimony to the grace of God in my life, you know. And I, you know, I'm no one special. Like I said, this book, I a lot of people can identify with the things I go through.
Absolutely,
you know what I mean. Like,
well, everything that you said, you're like depression, suicide, broken home. You know, you named a couple other things that you were going through. This is, I mean, I don't know if you know the statistics, what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Those are the statistics. And I actually met with Ben Corson on another interview, and he said that suicide has tripled since the pandemic.
Yeah, yeah. And we've dealt with it with our staff.
Yeah.
You know, we've got calls. We've had former students, you know, and it's heartbreaking, Ryan, like, to get to that place. And, you know, so this, you know, the book is to encourage, you know, because it doesn't just focus on, like, all the bad stuff I went through.
Yeah.
Focus on the transformation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, again, I talked about earlier, like when I was a little kid, you know, you know, I wanted to be like a doctor. I remember, like, you know, little kids have dreams, right?
Yeah.
You want to be like a firefighter, because I knew that people in my community need help. Yeah. And I wanted to help them. But somewhere between like third, because I remember, I'm probably in kindergarten.
Yeah.
I remember stealing candy in kindergarten. Yeah. I was already, you know, playing with matches and, you know, those little things that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Being a little bad kid, right? And, you know, like making bad choices. Yeah. And you know, like, but those things died. You know what I mean? Those dreams died, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, like when I had that radical experience with Jesus, those dreams came alive. Yep. And now they're like, I'm helping people. I'm a small part of somebody's big picture.
So I'm thinking about that word, like rebirth. Like, yeah. You know, when you said that you found Jesus, you came alive.
Yeah.
Talk about that process. So someone now that has listened, they've heard of where you were, what you're doing now. But why don't you hone in for the last part of the show about that rebirth, that what the Bible talks about, that rebirth.
Yeah.
How does God bring those dreams alive? Because I just had this picture, like, where those dreams are dead, but you give your life to God, and then they came alive.
Yeah.
But that's that reborn again experience, right? Yeah. So what does the Bible say, or how has the Bible activated in your life how you had that transformation process? What did God do, and what did he do, and then what did it look like to rebirth?
Yeah. So, you know, we are born again, right?
And what does that mean?
And I remember at that moment, you know, I've been on meth for a couple. Well, I did some the night before, and that's what I was trying to clean my system. Yeah. I'd been drinking for a week. I wasn't supposed to drink. And if there's somebody here listening and you're addicted to drugs, or you're in that moment right now, like I was in that moment. And I remember after I had that experience, I thought I was going to die. Like, I felt the peace of God just come over me when I was like, God, if you're real, like I just help me right now, please, God.
And peace enter the room.
Wham.
Just hit you.
Hit me. Peace. Not like some feeling, but it was just the peace. My you know, like when you're on meth, like you start thinking about a million different things.
Yeah.
And you're just like,
scrambled.
You know, scrambled. I was a perfect peace came on me. I felt like I wasn't even high anymore.
Wow.
I felt like I wasn't even high, and I was like, what the heck? And I'm in my mom's house. No one's home. I'm in the bathroom on the floor after, you know, vomiting. And I felt like a perfect peace. And it was just like, the Lord just really, like, I already had opportunities, you know, like, I was already invited to church. My uncle was a pastor at the church I was at. And God already had, you know, paved the path for me, you know what I mean? And so from that moment, like, there was a joy that just stirred in my heart, like a joy, like just this, like, I just couldn't stop smiling. You know what I mean? You know, when you're
The joy of the Lord. Yeah.
The joy of the Lord. Right. And I'm like, I couldn't stop the regeneration. And then, like, as time went on, I started to find purpose. And you know, like, because like I said, I was the assistant to the assistant gardener. I was an usher for like 3 years. I was just so happy, you know, and God was doing this work, the regeneration. It's like, it's powerful. You know, we're born again into a hope. You know, it says in 1 Peter, right? Mm-hmm. And we have this hope, and that hope is like not like Christmas hope, like, oh, I hope I get this for Christmas, right? The word is elpis. It's the earnest expectation of things to come with joy, right?
You can only get it, to the listeners, you can only get it when you give your life to Christ.
Yeah.
You will never get it any other way. Your life will never be transformed. And, you know, you may change some things in your life and be like, oh, yeah, I don't do these things anymore. But what happens is we're talking about this inner peace.
Yeah.
We're talking about the joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
People confuse joy with happiness.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I bought a car. I'm happy. Yeah. But then your ex Latino girlfriend comes over and throws some rocks at it and skis it. This is a true story. That happened to me. And then you're not happy anymore.
Yeah.
But the joy of the Lord is that you could be in a dark place in your life, but you have joy because there's a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit that God does inside of you. Yeah. And that's what Danny's talking about.
Yeah.
That inner peace.
Yeah. It's when that happened, it was because, you know what, right there, like, Lord, I'm yours. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, it was a powerful, and you know, and then it moved, and then, you know, I started helping with our youth group and with children's ministry. See, all these things were leading up.
Yeah.
To what I'm doing now. God is preparing me.
Okay, I want to jump in because I want to really highlight this. So here it is. People may go, okay, well, I gave my life to God and I want my dreams are to do these big things. Well, the thing is like, just like anyone, like if you're going to be a soccer player or if you're going to shoot guns, you know, you're going to learn how to shoot guns and hit the target. There's a training process. Yeah. And you have to, if you're going to be a, like you, if you're going to work with kids and have this kind of clout to be able to go in and work with parents and have these resources, God has to teach you from the very beginning. You have to learn the operations of it and start from the bottom. You don't just jump in.
Yeah.
It's like if a guy wants to be, you know, like someone that wants to come in and direct the whosoever's movement, you know, like our movement.
Yeah.
Dude, you got to understand how the shipping works, how the product design works, how the booking works, how, you know, there's all these back end things to be able to oversee. You can't just go live your dream until you understand how the dream operates.
Yeah, I got a story with that too.
When
I first got saved after about a year, I thought, man, I'm ready. I'm charged. I want to do this and I want to do that for the Lord. And, you know, and I remember there was this probation officer, like I started asking him, hey, man, can I do this with the kids? And that? He's like, how long have you been saved, man? I said about a year. He's like, dude, give yourself about 2 years, man. Let yourself heal first. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, take time. And I'm not saying, you know, God can do whatever. God is a God of miracles, right? But it took a lot of years and a lot of work to get, you know, to what I'm doing today. And I, you know what, like something that's important is like, I never stop learning. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you always have to learn.
And I always work hard. You know, I do my best. I put 100 into everything. I learn. I have to learn all this stuff. I didn't know about insurances to be in a school and you have to have this and that. So I have, you know, it all this time, you know, God, it's a process. Go with the flow. You know what I mean?
So with that said, there's this this song that's been saving me during this crisis in my life that I had, you know, in the last 6 months I've talked about on the show. It's that Waymaker. It talks about trusting the process. Or is it the lean back? It might be the Lean Back song from Jesus Culture. But anyway, long story short, it's these lyrics. It talks about trusting the process.
Yeah.
And God has to – he has to work. You know, I think even through the Calvary Chapel movement, they said – Chuck Smith quoted – what is it? You have to let God do the work in you before he can do it through you.
Yeah.
And in the same way, only as much as you reach up to God is what you can give out.
Yeah.
You can't just go out in an empty glass and think you're going to go change the world.
Yeah.
There has to be a whole new work in you. God has to work, and then God could actually work through you. And that's what God did.
Yeah.
Spiritually.
Yeah.
But then also you know, education wise, to be able to go out and do what you had to get done.
And it's like, you know, like I was saying earlier, like a lot of us have stories, right? And we want to share our stories and they're powerful, right? Our testimony is very powerful, right? You know, but God wants, like, trust the process. You know, that's why the book, you know, I talk about my quest to transcend trauma.
This is the process.
Turn my pain.
Yep.
The pain. I used all the things that happened in my life. The things that were meant for evil, God used them for good. You know what I mean? And he gave me purpose. You know what I mean? And it wasn't just purpose. I found peace. My ultimate, you know, the ultimate form of worship is finding rest in Jesus, right? Just resting in God. And like, because I was, you know, for a while, I was just doing like to the point of burnout. You know what I mean? Trying to please everybody and do all this stuff. And you know what? Like I had to, you know, I don't know. You know how people take this word self-care, but you know Jesus did it with his disciples. Mm-hmm. He took them aside to a deserted place.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He prayed with them. They needed time for themselves. You know what I mean? Jesus went alone to a quiet place. You know, and I think it's so important to find peace and rest in Christ. You know what I mean? And you know, like for me, like what's the opposite of pain, Ryan? The opposite of pain is fun. Mm-hmm. We skate, right?
Yeah.
You if you look at my Instagram, PastorDanny_Sanchez.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see me skating with my son all the time because you know what? I just have to just hang out and just have fun with my son and go eat. And I see kids out there and I have a great time with the skate park, you know, can't really do much anymore. I drop in, carve a little bit, you know what I mean?
Still rolling.
Do air out.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's the opposite of the pain. It's, I have fun. I'm enjoying life. I take walks with my wife. I read. I try to grow, listen to podcasts, listen to sermons, you know, and do things to grow, spend time with my kids, like all those things. And you know what? There's so many things that want to get in the way, and they do get in the way. And I'm going to keep it real. Like, I'm not just, Danny's got his perfect peace, you know, walking around. No. Like, I get distracted. You know, I'm on Instagram a lot. You know, I'm doing my thing, scrolling, all this stuff. And you know what? I just, even like this interview just reminded me, you know what, Danny, just refocus back on what God called me for. You know, just first of all, is to enjoy Him and have peace in Him, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's super duper important that, you know, Christians, you know, like, find your rest in Christ. Take that time. Let Him minister to you. You know what I mean? And those of you who don't know Christ, when you, you know, Jesus said in John 14:27 to His disciples, it was going to be a difficult time, right? Jesus was on His way to be crucified, right? And he was sharing all these things with them in the book of John. And I think it's John 14:27. He says, "My peace I leave with you. Mm-hmm. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives you. Let not your heart be troubled." There's a lot of things that could trouble our heart. And there's a lot of ways that we can find temporary peace. But He says, "My peace." That's a peace that comes from God, right? That's a peace where we find rest and restoration. You know what I mean? So, you know, and that's something that's important for us, right?
I want to chime in and keep you talking on the subject, but the issue is that we don't find time for peace and rest. We don't find time because we stay busy, busy, busy. Yeah. And Satan, he likes to keep us busy.
Yeah.
And in noise in our life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are some ways, life application for someone right now that's like, all right, I want to give my life to Christ. What does that look like? How do they do that?
Well, have they given their life to Christ?
So yeah, they haven't. They haven't. This is the guy that doesn't know God.
Yeah. So
what do they need to do right now?
Right now, you could just pray and say, Lord, like, this is what I did. Like, yeah. It was so simple. I don't like the situation I'm in. If You're real, help me. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be some crazy prayer. Just say, God, I need You in my life. And what the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It also says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's that simple, you know? And I think from there, you know, like, I would encourage people, you know, get in your Bible. You know, like, before, I mean,
is there a certain Bible to buy? Because there's all these translations.
Well,
what do you think?
I usually read the New King James Version. It's kind of, that's what I would kind of, like, what I started on.
Yep.
I read the ESV, you know, depending on, like, you know, like, I couldn't read well, and it was really hard for me. Like,
that's why I read the New Living Translation.
Yeah, New Living Translation. Yeah.
If you're a bad reader, New Living. If you're a good reader, New King James.
Yeah. Well, no, like, King James, right?
King, relax, thou shalt.
Yeah, just kidding. But you know, Ryan, like, you know, I started there, right? Somebody taught me this. They said, start in John.
Yeah, Gospel of John, which is at the back of the Bible.
Yeah, and start reading through the Bible. And you know what? It's just taking the time, right? Like, just read, like, you know, a few verses a day and just pray, God, help me to understand this. That's how I learned. And you know what's crazy? Like every other word before Christ, I was dropping the F bomb and I, you know, like, word, whatever you're saying, all these other words, these fill in words, right? And after reading the Bible, I started to grow and I was able to communicate and like, literally I could speak, you know, like, in a regular conversation. You
Isn't
know what
that
I mean?
Insane. Yeah. Well, hey, even like when you even open the Gospel of John, like, when if you open the Bible, like, one chapter is what, like, when you open the page, it's like a spread. Like,
yeah.
It's two pages.
Yeah.
One chapter is only two pages.
Yeah.
It's not like seven pages, like in a book or something. It's literally very short. And then in the chapter of the Gospels, there's like four short Jesus stories.
Yeah.
So it's not intimidating. You look at the Bible though, and you could be intimidated. You're like, that's a huge book, but there's 66 books in there.
Yeah.
But then when you break them down, you know, even the New Testament, these are the real short stories.
Yeah. Those little Jesus stories are what I wanted to point out. Cause that's what I did. I would just go, cause there's like a little title for each one.
Yeah.
Right?
It's very short and very easy to read. It's not complicated. And if you don't have a Bible and you're like, I don't have a Bible, guess what? On your app store, you could download the Bible for free.
Yeah.
There's a free Bible.
Yeah.
Right there, you just look it up, and it's you can pick any translation you want, and read it. And you actually, you know, I am going to plug this, because I never plugged this, but on the Bible app, I released a devotion recently.
Oh, cool.
It's called Kill the Noise. If you type in my name or Kill the Noise, it's a 7-day reading plan, and then I actually just finished I'm going through the Gospel of John. So every couple of weeks, there'll be a new 7-day devotion dropping all the way through the Gospels of John. But not only mine, there's like, I think there's actually 551 million subscribers. There's on the Bible app.
That's crazy.
Is that nuts?
Yeah, that's nuts.
But they have all kinds of cool devotion plans, like fear, depression, faith, storm, you know, whatever you want to look up. It's all there. That tool, it's free and it's all there.
And the answers are there. I mean, I found all the answers for what I was going through. And you know what? Like I said, just reading your Bible, praying, talking to God. And it's not like you have to say, you know, a lot of words. It's just simply talking to him, like, you know, Abba Father.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so simple. And then what helped me is like also, you know, hanging around with people like Christians. You know,
iron sharpens iron, the scripture says. Yeah. What does that look like?
Yeah. It's like, for me, it was going to Bible studies. It was meeting like other men, like, that knew more than me so I could learn from them, hanging around with people that were excited, like I was excited, you know what I mean? And just like, you know, like I used to drink a lot, man. And like, I didn't even want to drink. Yeah. I was like, I want to hang out here. I want to learn more about the Bible. I want to hear about Jesus.
I want to hone in what you're saying. Like, so that's what I loved, because when it's kind of intimidating when you give your life to God, because you have all these guys talking around you that basically know all these, you know, where the Bibles are quoting scriptures. It's very intimidating. But you know what? For me, when that happened, I was more like, I want to hang out more. It actually made me more focused to study more, to read more, to listen to more Bible studies, because I didn't want to be the man on the outs. Yeah. I wanted to be in on the conversation.
Yeah.
I thought it was so intriguing, you know, to be like, whoa, this is so – and I didn't get intimidated by it. It was intimidating, but then I was like – wait, why am I intimidated? I need to actually learn more and open my ears more and hear what they're saying, and then go to the scriptures myself to see what it says. And that's, I was just hungry for it. And it created a hunger for it.
Yeah, because you want to learn, right? Yeah. And the other thing I would just share with Christians that do know the Bible, be patient. You know, one thing, like I don't speak Spanish. I am Mexican, but I don't speak Spanish, right?
So, like 99% of my Mexican friends.
but we, some of the communities where I lead Bible studies, right? Yeah. Like I don't, I just have me and then one of the kids is translating for me, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I have to be super simple because the person that's translating doesn't know the Bible.
Yeah.
So like, and I have to get it to a place where people can really understand, take a little nugget. So just, you know, like be patient with people. Like sometimes they don't know all of our lingo or all the stuff. And I try to make it very clear to people. Right. And you know, what's helped, one thing that helped me to grow tremendously is sharing my faith. When I talked about Jesus to other people, it helped me to grow because I wanted to learn more about him. And, you know, and not only for the knowledge of scripture, but just the life transforming power, what he did in my life. You know, it's interesting, right? Because like, I you know, you can know a lot of scripture, right? And you can probably like share the scripture with people or like battle people, like, you know, and stuff like that, right? You know, people that like, you know, like get into arguments and stuff like that over that. But it's like, The most powerful thing that I've realized is when they see a life transformed, right? And
the
I just
proof is in the pudding when you see a life transform.
Yeah, I remember I saw a friend downtown. I was like downtown, just like sharing with people. It was in the evening, right? And he's like, "Hey, Danny, what happened to you, bro?" And I'm like, "Jesus." And he's like, "No. Did you go to like some like rehab or something? Or like what happened to you, bro?" And I'm like, "No, Jesus. Jesus changed my life." He could not believe it. He could not believe that God transformed my life so radically. Because I would be in those same streets, dude, drunk, falling, trying to fight people, arguing, cussing, you know. And I'm out there sharing love with people, telling them, you know, hey, man, you're loved, you know. And you know what? Like, I think it's important, you know, for me, that people see that powerful transformation in my life, right?
Yeah, what you're saying, you know, recently I've been doing some, you know, I'm doing some business deals. I work with a lot of like non-Christians.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. A couple of the guys were like, two different guys at separate times that I'm dealing with were like, "I've never heard you cuss." Like, that's funny that, because I don't, you know, I don't make a habit of it, you know, to cuss or anything. My goal is not to cuss, but it's so funny that even in business deals or even just dealing with people, like doing work for my house or whatever, they're like, "I've never heard you cuss before. Like, what's up with all that?" And I'm like, I never even thought about it, but here these guys are. I've never talked to them about being a Christian or anything, but yet they're just like, there's something about this guy, and that's Jesus.
It's Jesus, man. It's Jesus. Transforming, and you know, like,
It's just, oh, shoot, we're getting to the end. Hey, this is the end of the show. Hey, I'll bring you back. You've been on it before. We'll bring you back, and I'll come up to San Jose. The citypeaceproject.org. Check Danny out. He's in the streets. Real life Jesus Messy Ministry. Getting it done. I love you, man. Thanks for being on the show.
I love you
Don't
too.
Forget to go to the Whosoever's. You can get all the past radio shows. You could donate to the movement. You could buy products. You could book us to come out and tour. We will not stop bringing the Great Commission. We are picking up our high school tours. Show the book. There it is. Go to Amazon. Find it. Right there.
Post-traumatic Peace. Quest. Peace.
We love you guys.
This has been The Ryan Reese Show. To connect and find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for The Ryan Reese Show.
Hello, I'm Adam Comer.
And I'm Ryan Chittister.
And we are the host of Life After Addiction podcast. What we believe is that addiction is not a surprise to God.
That's right. We discuss addiction from a biblical worldview and how true freedom comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Absolute freedom from addiction, the secular worldview of once an addict, always an addict, is just not true. If you or someone you love struggles with addiction, subscribe to Life After Addiction at lifeaudio.com.